My armor bearer's lifting weights today. So, how many were impacted by that word? I certainly was, and makes me want to go in the prayer room. It's easy to go to a prayer room when you got an ocean view, you know. So easy. Praise Jesus. In this particular session, I'm going to be a little bit more transparent. How many know that opportunity is a great thing? It's a great thing. In our 22 years of full-time ministry, Melian and I have never felt the call to pastor. We love pastors. We love their hearts, great women of God and leadership that we know around the world. But last year, I have a very good friend of mine, very close to him. He has a church of 500 people. He got a staff, a budget over $1 million a year. We were ministering at his church, and prior to us starting the meetings, we were there for a weekend. And prior to starting the meetings, he called me and said, "John, I'd like to sit and talk to you just alone." And I said, "Sure." And so he came pick me up at the hotel, and he began to tell me how he wanted me to pastor the church. I say that to you to tell you that sometimes what can happen is that when we see an opportunity, when our brother or our sister is discouraged, that sometimes in ministry we jump to opportunity but not to the voice of God. Because in the natural, this particular church, his salary is well over six figures. He's comfortable. But this particular leader is tired. Because it seems like every few years, leaders leave, people leave, he goes and builds up again, and there's been this cycle. And then I told the pastor, I said, no, this is not my calling. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, you have to know your calling. Because not everything that is presented to you is of the Lord. Because I know people right now, if someone offered them a church that size, with that kind of budget, with that, oh yeah, that's the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because in the natural, see, if we don't hear the voice of God and step in and jump into an opportunity, we can actually miss our destiny, but also undermine the destiny of the person that's offering us the opportunity. I said, no. So a few months went by, and it was a summer, and I was in that particular area about an hour and a half away, ministering at another church. And he called me up again and said, "John, I'd like to get together for lunch." I said, "Okay." So We set the time, and I drove down there and met him, talked, and he began to unpack how frustrated he was with the ministry and how he wanted to get out, and he again presented the opportunity to me again, and I said no. Then he said something that struck me. He said, "I've talked to my board. I've talked to my board, and they would love to have you. And then I also talked to my board because they said they can hire your kids too. Because my kids are in ministry." Now, how many know that sometimes people will up the opportunity? Come on. Now, let me just tell you, in the natural man, now, that's it, man, because my daughter, my son-in-law are both prophets. My son and my daughter-in-law are great worship leaders. Boy, I'm going to be there. I'm going to have all my grandkids. In the natural, it looks wonderful. And I'm concerned that people began to lack the discernment. That many times when we're talking to people, they are not speaking from their promise. They are speaking out of their pain. Come on, are you hearing what? And what they need someone is they need someone that to give them the word of the Lord. And because let's say that there's a destiny there, there's a family there, there's a church there. And even though no matter how much, what I said, I told the pastor, I said, how much you run? He said, well, about 500 on Sunday morning. I said, you know what? In 2 weeks, you'll run 5. Because if I take the church, because that's not my calling. Come on. You know what I'm saying? And yes, we went to that church. We've had long revivals at that church. I mean, 19 weeks. We had a revival in 2011, 19 weeks. The media showed up, and there was great miracles. But church, you know, let me just say this to you. When the pastor then got to the point where it's okay to tell me, but when he tells somebody else, I know what I need to do. I need to invest in you. Let me tell you something, church. You know what I love about Hawaii? We love each other. We love each other. We are a family. We are ohana. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when one of our family members is hurting, the greatest demonstration that you could give them is investing in their life. Because people come alive through generosity. And what we as leaders have to do is learn to lead from a place of generosity. Amen. Not a place of opportunity, but from a place of generosity. Because let me just think this. And Ruth never was redeemed in a place of poverty. Boaz redeemed her because of his ability to lead with generosity. Come on, think about it. The Father sends the Son and leads with generosity to redeem you and I. Come on. And here we are to represent Jesus. And as a type of redeemer, Boaz, deliverer, we are called to lead with generosity. Because in your life, we will always be given opportunities. People will recognize the anointing. They'll recognize the gifting. They will recognize certain things on your life and say, here, and they will present that to you. And I can tell you, I know so many people right now, had they been on the other side of the conversation, oh, yes, I'll take it since you're going to hire my kids. I'll take it. I started to cry because it just broke my heart to see a friend go through that, hurt like that. We got to that. He's my age. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So he's frustrated. So he's going to make a decision not out of intimacy. He's going to make a decision out of frustration. That's going to affect the rest of his life. And his destiny and his family. I knew what I needed to do. So I called Meliana. I called Meliana and told her what it was transpired. She knew about the first time. And this is what she said. He needs to come to Hawaii. That's what she said. He needs to come to Hawaii. Well, we were scheduled to be at Dr. Morocco's prophetic conference. We go there every year. And it was just 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks. And, you know, it's way on the mainland. And I said, yes, we need to do that. We need to pay his airfare. We need to pay his hotel and his wife and buy the food and pay everything. The trip cost our ministry $5,000. Guess what? He came to Hawaii. He's not quitting the ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He went to the conference and got a prophetic word that re-sparked his vision, his commitment, and what God had called him to do, ladies and gentlemen. That is why we have to get, that's why when you have this conference next year, you better get everybody there. You better get everybody there. Because you got to understand, one word from God. See, we don't know what people go through. Because they got their bling on. They got their stuff on. They're looking pretty like my wife. And you know what I'm saying? But we don't know what's going on the inside. That they could be on the verge of stepping out of the will of God. But if we don't invest in them, then we will never see. Because let me just tell you, church, I would do it again and again and again and again and again. Because not only does a pastor and a wife, it affects an entire church. Come on. It affects the church. But because let me just tell you, because sometimes we have the grandeurs of ministry, the grandeurs of what we want to look like, instead of realizing I'm going to lead with generosity. And as I lead with generosity, I'm going to see the captives set free. Can I hear an amen? What I wanted to discuss, I just shared this testimony because I wanted to discuss something that the Lord showed me. Because what I want to see happen, and I'm going to title this. I don't normally title things, but I want to title this Creating a Winning Culture. How many want to create a winning culture? See, I don't want to just create a winning culture for me. I want to create a winning culture for everybody around me. The way that a winning culture is created, I believe, is this. It's hearing from God. Because if you don't hear from God, you're not going to create a winning culture. What's going to happen is you're probably going to create a culture that is created by a different culture than the kingdom. Because you're not hearing from God. How do I know that? Daniel is placed in a demonic society, Babylon, with a demonic leader. But his ability to hear the voice of God overrode the culture that he lived in. So wait a minute, because we can sit here and we can complain about the culture all day. But guess what? The culture can't trump the voice of God. Come on. The government can't trump the voice of God. Because the voice of God is so powerful. It breaks cedars. Come on. It strips the forest bare. And so if I'm going to create a winning culture, I've got to hear from the Lord. I've got to hear God. With that being said, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 14. We're going to look at something that is so profound. It changed my life. And then I want to do a demonstration. Because it seemed like, you know, after Paul gets touched by God, Jesus reveals himself to him, and he begins to start upon his ministry. His ministry, it's like it's a love-hate relationship. Some places he go, they love him. Some places he go, he stirs up trouble. The thing is, if we're not stirring up trouble, something is wrong. Are you hearing what I mean? Because the Holy Spirit stirs up trouble. It's a disruption to a religious mindset. Are you hearing me? Because who was doing the persecution? The Romans weren't persecuting. It was the Sadducees that were doing the persecuting. It was the Judaizers that were doing the persecution. Come on. It was within the church. And so I'll give you an example. Because of my word of faith, belief, and I love Brother Hagin, and so I have a friend of mine who says, John, you need to join the Conservative AG Facebook page. And I said, okay, you know, I didn't even pray about it. I just joined it, and they accepted me, and they put a picture, they put a picture of Rhema and a Southwestern Bible College. They were agreement. They're kind of connecting to each other, and so I just thought that was just wonderful, you know, the Assembly of God, Word of Faith, man, that's wonderful. And so I just put a nice comment, and they said, that's wonderful. I love Brother Hagin. I love Rhema. I love the body of Christ. And all of a sudden, guess what? It opens a can of worms. And I'm demonized now. And now everybody's, I'm a false prophet. And this and this and this. And finally, I had to get off. Come on. I had to disjoin the page. Come on. Because I was going to operate out of human reason instead of a demonstration. Because you know what? You can't demonstrate the power of God on Facebook. Come on. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So I'm off. I'm off, you know. And I put E.W. King in, who is Brother Hagin's kind of a teacher back in the 20s, you know. I put his things about the power of our words. And, oh, man, just what a waste of time. What a waste of time. But here's the interesting thing. Where Paul goes, there's always these people that are trying to undermine his ministry. There's always these folks that are trying to do everything in their power to shut him down. But let me just tell you, you can't shut the Holy Spirit down. I don't care what laws are passed. See, that's why, church, that our movement needs to get back to the book of Acts. Because if we do not get back to the book of Acts, we will operate out of the world's principles. And so, this is what happens. I mean, he's in this city. He's having signs and wonders. He points the finger. A guy gets healed. In chapter 14. But all of a sudden these Judaizers show up. And this is what it says. It says, the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes. Everybody say persuaded the multitudes. You know, when I read that, I realized how powerful. The multitudes thought Paul was, man, this guy's an anointed man of God. But all of a sudden, one bad word, undermine your character, say something bad about you. And now the public perception of who you are changes just like that. That's why they could say, and one day they said, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the next day they said, crucify him. What happens? Because sometimes the public is swayed by whoever is talking. That's why the church needs to open her mouth. That's why the church needs to be the loudest voice. The church needs to be the prophets. The church needs to decree. The church needs to proclaim. The church doesn't need to let the world tell what's going on. The church needs to get her voice. Church, if there's one church in, I love this state. My kids were born and raised in Maui. My home church is in Maui. I don't want this people to be silent anymore. We need to open our mouth and decree the word of the Lord. But here's the problem. We're afraid of Judaizers. We're afraid of the persecution. Oh, come on. It's going to come with it. When is people going to rise up with courage? When are they going to say, what are you going to do to me? Kill me? Paul said, if you kill me, it's gain. Come on. If I'm here, guess what? I get to grow. Come on. To die is gain. But the thing is, we're worried about our perception with the multitudes, so we silence. Oh, Jesus, we can't do that. He says, not ashamed. You know what that means. When I was with Pastor Dion on Sunday, on the second service, the Lord said something that would just, it just rocked me. In fact, I'm going to re-preach it in the mainland. It just moved me. Mordecai was a prophet. When Mordecai said, Esther, if you remain silent, You're being persecuted. The Jews are being persecuted. If the church, oh, we're under persecution. Yeah, a silent church will get persecuted and lose the battle. But a church that opens her mouth, the bride of Christ needs to cry out, help me, God. If you remain silent, deliverance will come from another source. But you and your household will perish. Because you've been born in Hawaii for such a time as this. You've been in ministry for such a time. You wasn't there at Azusa Street. You wasn't there when the movement started. You wasn't there when you were born right now. In a godless world. Come on. You were born when men are marrying men and women are marrying women and all the craziness and people are aborting. You were born at this time. What does that mean? That means that you have a solution on the inside of you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That means that you have a voice. And your voice is more powerful than you know it. And if you don't open your mouth, sis, guess what's going to happen? The enemy's going to come and undermine everything you care about. But God, I put you here at this hour for this moment. Because the multitudes had been persuaded by a man named Haman. The multitudes, after Paul had done so many miracles, had preached the gospel to them, multiples, the Jews just come in here, no, he's this, and they believe it. They could post something about you. They can say something on social media about you that's not even true. And all of a sudden, nobody in your church likes you. Because they listen to the voice of popularity rather than the voice of God. That's why I believe in prophets. I don't understand why people don't believe in prophecy and prophets, because there's no biblical evidence in the Bible to believe that. That is not biblical. I believe in prophets and I believe in prophecy. I believe in the sound of his voice, and he's still speaking. And he's speaking to us right now. And he's saying, don't remain silent. The multitudes persuade him. Listen to what happens. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city. I love this. Supposing him to be dead. Everybody say suppose. Oh, I got the church now. I got the pastor right now. He's going to quit his ministry because I'm going to tell an evangelist, I'm going to tell a guy that's traveling that I'm going to hire his kids. I got him now, supposing him to be dead. That's what the world thinks. That's what the world thinks. Suppose your church doesn't have an impact. Supposing your ministry isn't going to grow. Supposing that you aren't going to accomplish great things for God. How many know supposing is an assumption? I don't believe in assumptions. I believe in truth. And I don't operate on your... Because how many felt like you've been dragged, left for dead? Come on. And guess what? But there's something that happens in this atmosphere. Here is their spiritual father. Here is this man of God. He is lying there, been stoned. Come on. He has been beat up by life. Oh, come on. Because sometimes there are people even in this room where you have been beat up by life. You've been stoned by people in your church. You've been stoned by the world. And life itself has literally supposed that you were dead. Even your family stoned you. But let me just tell you what happens in that atmosphere, because God is calling every one of us to respond to what I'm saying right now. Because this blew me away when I read it. He said, supposing him to be dead, however. Everybody say, however. However. I like however. Yeah. Because however says, no, I don't think that's going to happen. Oh, you're going to get out of the ministry. I'm going to get this guy. I'm going to blow his destiny. He's going to fall into sin. However, I'm here with this microphone because I serve a God of the however. That everybody else saw one thing, but God saw something else. And I love the God of the however, Meliana. However, when the disciples gathered around him. Pastor Dennis, would you come over here? I'm going to ask you, my friend Dennis, known him since his Hanabata days. You didn't think I knew that, did you? But I'm going to, Dennis, could you just lay like you fell out in the spirit? Just lay right there like you fell out. I need some of the brothers. I need like 6 or 7 brothers to come up here and surround Dennis in a circle and grab your hand. Everybody see this? Listen what the disciples do. One more. Listen what the disciples do. The disciples gather around, Pastor Co, the dead body. Because a man that they love has been stoned. A person in a body that is hurting. A person in the ministry that has been hurting. What do they do? They don't say, oh yeah, you know, he must have sinned. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He shouldn't have, he stepped out of the will of God. Because if he was in the will of God, he'd have never been stoned. Oh, come on, all kinds of scenarios. But this church, these people in Hawaii, these people in Hawaii, amen. These people from the Kauai, Big Island, Maui, Oahu, and all the other islands that are represented here, these people are a different kind of people. They're a Book of Acts people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because sometimes we only surround the people we like. Come on, church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking about surrounding people that have been beat up. Because, ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you right now, I wish a 30-year-old pastor would have never took his life. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? Where was the church? Where was the church when you post on your Twitter some crazy, unbiblical thing over what? I'm calling you in the office, bro. What is going on in your head? Come on. I'm sorry. I refuse to say, because people, oh, you need to understand me. I don't understand demons. Now, I understand there's many facets of people's struggle with depression or mental illness. I get that. I want to show empathy. But my Bible says, lean not on your own understandings, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I don't understand why Paul was stoned. He's a man of God. Why didn't God protect him? But I do understand my responsibility. My responsibility, your responsibility. And as a prophetic voice in the body of Christ, I am decreeing and I am begging, pleading with you that when your brother or sister is in this condition, don't walk away from them because you're afraid of what they've been stoned by. You're afraid you might get stoned too. You're afraid that you might get identified as having the same problem as they have. What you need to do is you need to gather around them. Oh, I feel like preaching right now. I might get crazy up in here. I am Pentecostal with all capital letters. Because the problem with the body of Christ is we have walked away from what we could resurrect. Listen to this. However, when the disciples gathered around him. Now, you think that when they gathered around them, oh, poor Dennis. Poor Dennis. Look what he's going through. Poor pastor. Look what he's going through. Poor Renee, what's she looking going through? Poor Meliana. You know what they're doing? They got a complete circle. They encircle the dead body. Can you imagine if the church starts encircling the body? Can you imagine we started encircling each other? Can you imagine instead of demonizing each other?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you looked at pornography. I don't agree with that. You know, you shouldn't be looking at that. But I'm not going to demonize you. What I am going to do is I'm going to encircle you. Yes. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be looking too. Yes. I'm being real, man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Now, that means they're surrounding him. That means there's nothing because it's a ring. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Or he's the first and the last. He put a ring on the prodigal son's finger to give him back his authority. So they got a circle. They got a perfect circle ring. That means there's nothing that can get in to undermine the body. Are you hearing me? Now, do you think that they are standing there with encircling Paul's body? You think that, oh, poor Paul. I wish you didn't get stoned. Poor you. You lost your church. You lost your ministry. Your family's going through. Your teenager's going through this, or whatever it is. You think they're thinking like they ain't talking like that. They ain't talking like that. You know what they're doing? Get up. The word of the Lord says, this is not your time. They are prophesying. They are praying. They are getting a hold of God. God, you're going to bring a resurrection. It's not this man's time to get out of ministry. It's not this time, man, to die. Oh, come on. Is there anybody that's going to encircle the body? What happened? So here's what happens. When the disciples gathered around him, he rose up. It didn't say when the doctors gathered around him. Didn't say when the psychologists gathered around him. Didn't say when the world gathered around him. It said when the disciples gathered around him. Let me ask you something. Do I got any disciples in this room right now? Do I got any disciples in this room right now? Guess what? He rose up. So that tells me, thank you, gentlemen. That was long.
Welcome back.
That was long. What is going to raise up the people next to us? How are we going to raise up people? How are we going to raise up the next generation? I have some very, very good friends here. Their church, Pastor Glenn and Pastor Joy Stout are here. Their church sent them here. Yeah. They're from California, from my hometown in Central California. I got to introduce Pastor Janelle to him. He's right next to Bishop Hook's church, not too far. And the interesting thing is when I didn't know anybody, and I came from Hawaii, they were the first church to open their door to me. When I left Maui. And they're here. And I wouldn't be here if they didn't surround me when I first started and give me an opportunity. And by giving me an opportunity, I arose. Oh, come on, church. Are we disciples? Are we real disciples? Are we real disciples, ladies and gentlemen? He arose. And the crazy thing is, he arose and went into the city. You just got stoned, bro. But see, when the disciples gather around you, see, that's why we don't just need one person prophesying over you. You need as many people as you can prophesying life over you, hope over you, possibility over you, anointing over you, laying hands on you, saturating you. Because the more you get, guess what? I don't think about what happened. So that means they surrounded him and he got over his trauma. Because, I mean, you get stoned, you get traumatized. You know what I'm saying? You get traumatized. And you know what? When you're traumatized, I don't want to get up. I'm done with the ministry. I'm done. I want to live in the parsonage and hide because I've been stoned. I don't want to go back to that pulpit. Because every time I go to the pulpit, I get stoned. You know that. You know what I'm talking about. So he goes back into the city. How did that happen? That happened when a group of people, when the body surrounded the body. Because my body, my wife says, honey, you have a natural Hanukkah. She even takes pictures of it and sends it to the kids. But see, because I think I'm 27 instead of 57. I don't know. I feel the same. Come on. So the thing is, my body heals itself. God made my body, our body, to heal itself. God made the body of Christ to heal itself. Come on. See, and so when we go to an outside source to heal the body doesn't get healed. Because if you got the wrong folks surrounding you, you're not going to arise. Oh, come on. You're going to be dead. You're going to be paralyzed and crippled and burn out. But when you got the right folks surrounding you, I believe in you, bro. I know you can do it. You got to get up right now. Get back to the city. Do some more miracles. Preach some more messages. Turn the world upside down. Let's give God a shout of praise right now. The body. Amazing. There's a new translation out. I got to meet the author, the translator. Name is Brian Simmons. Brian Simmons wrote a translation that I love, especially the Psalms, Song of Solomon, called the Passion Translation. And so I looked this verse up in the Passion Translation, and I love this. It says, some of the Jews who had opposed Paul and Barnabas in Antioch and in Iconium arrived and stirred up the crowd against them. There's always somebody stirring up trouble. Always somebody stirring up trouble. They stoned Paul and dragged his body outside the city and left him for dead. I love how he said that. Left him. Left him. You know, if somebody's left, their body's going to decay. You ever think about this? You ever think that sometimes why a church is in decay? A ministry is in decay because we're not surrounding them. Because sometimes we can be so busy with what we're doing and that we're not surrounding one another. Because if you love God, you love the entire body. Even Kenneth Hagin. Oh, come on. You love the entire body. You love the entire body. And you're not going to demonize them just because their theology may be different than yours or their end time or their eschatology may be different than yours. What you're going to do is you're going to surround your brother and you're going to surround your sister, because right now what you need what's inside of me, because part of what's inside of me is going to get you up. Now, can you imagine, because some of you, because you understand, there is a DNA in this district, there is a DNA in this body. I can tell you right now, by the word of the Lord, there is a DNA right here in this room that can get the body of Christ back up in Hawaii. You carry the DNA. Your DNA is your proclamation. When you agree with God and partner with God and you begin to decree the word of the Lord, what's going to happen is the body is going to arise. We're not letting you sin, brother. You don't have permission to quit the ministry. You don't have permission to do that. You're getting up and you're going back there. Listen to this. I got to start wrapping this up. It says, they stirred up the crowd against him. They stoned Paul and dragged his body outside, left him for dead. I love this. When the believers encircled Paul's body. And I have to ask me, are you encircling the body? You know what? One of my favorite churches in America is right in Hilo. I want to retire there. I'm praying for Dion to prosper, to buy me a house right on Hilo Bay. But a few years ago, their body was hurting. Their spiritual father had gone on to be with the Lord. But I'm so thankful that Dion, who was in a good church in Massachusetts, came back home and encircled that body. And when I was there on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, that was the best I'd ever seen that body in 20 plus years of ministering in that church. Why? Because somebody surrounded that body. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody didn't let a church close, did not let a people get offended, did not let something die that had been planted there. Come on. Didn't let the people scatter. I'm going to surround you, because if you're not surrounded, you're going to scatter. You're just going to scatter. Listen to this. It says they encircled Paul's body. He miraculously stood up. Paul stood up and immediately went back into the city. What am I saying? Don't forget this. Meliana and I had to encircle that pastor and his wife, even if it did cost me $5,000. But what's worse? 500 people being scattered, or 5,000 bucks. God can bless me, and He has. He has more, a way above. But see, when you gather around people, you are expressing the greatest act of generosity. Because you are making a statement by your presence. I support you. See, when you come to an event that this man prays and asks you and you decide, I'm going to surround you, you know what you're doing? You're showing, I support you. And by doing that, what are you doing? You're bringing resurrection to this entire district. You're bringing resurrection to this entire body. Because what you're doing is you're bringing life to the leader. Come on. Because the problem is that some people, I want to be a leader, but I don't want to surround other leaders. Come on. Because I want to be on my own. I want to do what I want. My thing is what I'm doing more. No. I'm going to surround the body. because I'm going to surround the body, that means that, you know what, you getting up and you doing what you're called may not even benefit me. I might not get nothing out of it. I might not even get an honorarium or an offering. I might not get a pat on the back. I may not even get a thank you. But you know what I'm going to get? God's going to honor me. God's going to honor me. And yes, that church doesn't know what we did. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They have no clue. They have no clue. They could afford to send him. The church could have afforded to send him. But I wanted to surround. And I want to surround every one of you. Lift your hands toward heaven right now. Father, I love you. Father, we worship you. We adore you. We thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light upon our path, God. I thank you for the power of the prophetic, God. Father, we need to be surrounded by the spirit of prophecy. We need to be surrounded by the spirit of truth. Because you know what? We've been stoned by lies. We've been stoned by deception. Some of us have been dragged. God, we're just as we surrounded Dennis as a prophetic symbol. I decree and declare that these people right now, within the sound of my voice, each and every leader will find somebody to surround. Maybe even outside their inner circle, outside their denomination or organization. Outside of their sphere, but they would surround them, knowing that what we're doing is we're equipping and empowering the body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You can put your hands down. This woman and her husband, is this your husband? Right there, I'm looking right. She said, yes, that's your husband? Yes, well, the two of you stand up. Would you guys come right up here to the platform? Hallelujah. I need a couple of ushers to stand behind them, please. Stretch forth your hands to this precious couple. In fact, I want to do something. I want to do something right now. I want to do something prophetic. I want some of the leaders to surround them right now. I want just gather around them. I feel like there's been a real attack, a cultural attack. Just being here, just coming here was very stressful and attacked, because there's been a religious demon that has really tried to, there's been a spirit of legalism that has really tried to undermine where God wants to take you. Because the two of you want to be humble, you want to be honoring, you want to honor the family, you want to honor others that have gone on to be with the Lord, and you don't want to stir up, but you guys have really, just as Paul faced these Judaizers, you guys have faced that. You have faced that very recently. And you were persecuted for just coming here. But the Lord says that right now, what I'm doing is I'm healing you. I'm healing your heart. I'm giving you a new vision. I'm giving you a new lease on your life. And the Lord says that right now, my daughter, I'm giving you your song back. Because I remember when you were a little girl and you would stand up. Saying you would feel the presence of God. You would just be engulfed in the presence. But just the last year, it's just been routine, and it's like the enemy brought a spirit of dullness. But what God is doing right now, He's reigniting a fire. He's reigniting you. Because there's a spiritual heritage and a spiritual inheritance that I've marked you, that I've called you, and I even see a grandfather that had prayed for you, prophesied to you. And even if he had been alive, he would have said no, because the way you were treated was not right. You were not treated right. But I'm here to tell you right now, God is going to redeem you. God is going to redeem your husband. And the Lord says that this is going to be a season where your ministry is being able to flourish. But he wants you guys to step out of the yoke of control and coercion and manipulation. That's not the yoke that I want you to be in. I want you to be in the under the yoke of freedom. The yoke where you can express what God has for you. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, stretch forth your hands to these right now. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, touch them right now by the power of the Holy Spirit, never to be the same again. There it is. God is touching you right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on and give God a shout of praise. I want everybody to stand. I want everybody to stand. Can we worship God? Can we worship God all of this room?
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle.
The power of the prophetic.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. Sing it.
Just your voices. Just your voices. Sing it.
I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I'm fighting my battle. This is how.
all over. Just begin to worship him all over the room, all over the room, all over the room. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Pray in the Holy Ghost all over this room. There's somebody in here right now. You have a physical battle. You have an incurable disease. There is no answer. And you need a miracle in your body. You need a physical miracle in your body. With heads bowed and nobody looking around, please. I want you to raise your right hand and say, "Preacher, that's me. I need a physical miracle in my body. I want you right now to come to the front of this altar right now." If you raise your hand right now, I want you to come right now. I want you to come right now. I'm going to ask Minister Milani and Janelle to come up and pray for myself. One of my favorite persons on the planet, Sister Joyce. I'm going to ask my friend, Pastor Kevin and John Truesdale from the Big Island to pray for one of my favorite pastors, Ronaldo, right there. I want someone to, Sister Janet, make your way up here. Sister Lacia. I want my sister right over here from Santa Cruz to come and gather around one of the most anointed worship leaders that I know. I want you to surround her right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to surround them with proclamations and prayer right now. I want you to surround them with the spirit of prayer, the spirit of intercession right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, last week you healed MS. You healed MS, God. You healed a young lady that was stuck in a wheelchair. Right now, let your power be released right now. On Pastor Ronaldo, on Pastor Joyce, on Pastor Janet right now. Release your glory upon them right now in Jesus' name. Let the body heal the body. Release healing on the body right now. Release healing on the body. I'm surrounded.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by.
Your body. If you need healing in your body, I want you to raise your hand. That's me. I need healing in my body. I need physical healing in my body. On the count of three, I want you to run to this front of the church right now. One, two, three. Come right now. Come right now. Come right now. Come right now.
This is how I fight my battle. This is
put your hand on your heart all over the room. I want you to say this after me. Jesus, this afternoon, I make a commitment to you and to the body. I will surround the body. I will surround my brother. I will surround my sister. And I will speak life to them. And they will get up. Lord Jesus, I'll surround the state of Hawaii. And I will see a resurrection. Because I carry life inside my body. Lord Jesus, empower me to lead with generosity. Help me find a brother, a sister. They may be dead spiritually, economically, emotionally, but I'm not giving up. Thank you, Jesus, for your anointing. In Jesus' name. Now lift your hands and thank him all over this auditorium. Thank him all over this room. Thank him all over this room. Ladies and gentlemen, just a few moments, we're going to break for dinner. Don't eat too much. I don't want you falling asleep. Maybe we should just have water and go on a water fast or something. I have never been to a conference where they said, I've never been to a conference called the Fast Conference. We always hear it. I don't know what happened, you know. But maybe we need to change that. Let's just gather around and fast. No. Marriage Supper of the Lamb. So just hold your hands out like this, like you're ready to receive. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to have Pastor Coe come up and give you some instruction. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these great people. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that many of them have surrounded their communities, their churches, and the people in their congregation and various ministries. But right now, I ask you for impartation to come upon every one of them right now. An impartation to see resurrection and life come into somebody that has been paralyzed or crippled by life so that they could go back to the city and accomplish the will of God. I pray that even this evening, these next few hours that we have, they would text somebody, call somebody, prophesy over somebody that may be laying in that condition the Apostle Paul was. And they would see a miracle happen right before their eyes. Let this impartation that is in this room right now come upon every believer within the sound of my voice. God, we love you. We love your heart. We love your word. You don't cease to amaze us. We honor you. We adore you. As we say in Song of Solomon, how right they are to adore you. It is so right to adore you for what you do. And what you empower your body to do. Lord Jesus, I pray that this state, this district, be different. That we surround the Pacific Islands and the Pacific Rim. We surround them, God. I pray for that right now. We surround the Chinese, the Samoan, the Tongan. We surround the Hawaiian. We surround every ethnicity, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You glad you came to church this afternoon? Praise God. Pastor Coe.